Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Kuftes, we notice a Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we will take note of some of the markings that we see. We notice a double underline with dots in it, and a numbering scheme as well. Roman numerals 1, and a bit later in the Mishnah 2, and under Roman numeral number 1, we've broken the Mishnah into parts Aleph and Beis. In the outside margin, we feature in our Gemara marking system the Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of our marking system. We feature topic headings and structural notes. The topic heading is called Nosei. The structural note is entitled Mivneh. Sometimes we combine the two notes into one, as is the case over here. In the outside margin, we feature the double underline with the dots in it, and we've noted this highlights the expressions Hare Olai Oilo or Hareini Nozir, as we will see in the Mishnah. This has to do with someone accepting upon himself to bring a Korban Ola or accepting upon himself to observe Nazirus. We will see descriptions of Kabbalah Regilah, a standard, normal Kabbalah acceptance of these obligations. And we will also see Kabbalah Lekaimo Bebeis Chonyo, a situation where someone accepts upon himself, let us say, to bring a Korban Ola, but in Beis Chonyo. Later in our Gemara, we will discover the background to this item or element or place called Beis Chonyo. But briefly, it's a reference to a temple that was built in Mitzrayim by the son of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, who lived during the second Beis Hamikdash period. This was, of course, a place that's... that one is not allowed to offer sacrifices there, being that it's not the Beis HaMikdash. But nevertheless, what happens if one does offer and serve in such a place? The Mishnah. Hare Olai Oila. If a person accepts upon himself to bring an Ola sacrifice, Yakriveno BaMikdash, he's expected to offer it in the Beis HaMikdash. V'im hikriva b'veis chonyo lo yotza. And if he offers it in this chonyo temple, he has not fulfilled his requirement. Here he accepted upon himself a formal obligation to bring an ola sacrifice. Here is a different case. Hare olai oilo she'akriveno b'veis chonyo. He accepts upon himself an obligation to bring a korban ola, but stipulates that I will offer in Beis Chonyo. Once again, I accept upon myself an Ola that I will offer in Beis Chonyo. The Mishnah rules Yakriveno BeMikdash. He's expected to offer it in the Beis HaMikdash. Once a person says Hare Olai Ola, that phrase alone obligates the person to bring an Ola. So one is expected to do that in the right place. Ve'im hikriva BeBeis Chonyo Yotza. This phrase needs some clarification, as we will see later in the Gemara. But translated, it seems to say that if one, however, offers it in Beis Chonyo, he has fulfilled his requirement. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zu Ola. Rabbi Shimon rejects this out of hand and says that this is not an Ola. In other words, one who stipulates that he's going to bring an Ola in Beis Chonyo, it's nothing. Now, the Mishnah goes to the second section, hence we've called this Roman numeral number 2. Hareini Nozir, a person accepts upon himself the observance of a Nazirus. Nazirus is the abstinence from wine, from haircuts, and from exposing himself to Tumas Meis. So he accepts himself upon himself Nazirus. Yigaleach b'mikdash. He is, when he completes his Nazirus period, he brings sacrifices and takes a haircut in the Beis HaMikdash. The cutting of the hair is associated with the bringing of the sacrifices that signify the end of the Nazirus period. V'im gilach b'veis chonyo lo yotza. And if this person who made a formal Nazirus acceptance and he brings his sacrifices in Beis Chonyo, he has not fulfilled his requirements. Another case, Haredi Nazir Shagaleach Beis Chonyo, he accepts Nazirus provided that he will complete it and bring the sacrifices that signify the end in Beis Chonyo. We say Yigaleach b'mikdash. After he accepted upon himself Nazirus, he is expected at that point of acceptance to do it in the Beis HaMikdash. V'im gilach b'Beis Chonyo yotza. If he happens to carry out what he said that he would bring the sacrifices in Beis Chonyo to complete his Nazirus, he has fulfilled his requirement. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ein Ze Nazir. Rabbi Shimon says that such an acceptance doesn't constitute Nazirus to begin with. The Gemara asks on this regarding this point that if he had accepted, let us say, an Ola to bring it in Beis Chonyo, and he actually brings it in Beis Chonyo, he is Yotze, which means he has fulfilled his obligation. How can you say that? Yotze, ha Mikdal Katla. Mikdal Katla means he simply killed an animal. In other words, slaughtering an animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's called Shchut Echutz. And he's Chayev for Shchut Echutz, he's Chayev Kores for that offense, and furthermore, this person who had said Hare Olai Ola, he became obligated to bring an Ola, to bring a real Ola. So by simply killing an animal, how in the world can we say that he has fulfilled his requirement? To answer this, we have a couple of approaches, and we feature the names that signify these approaches with triangles. And you'll notice in the outside margin, we have the Nose Mivneh heading, and the triangles featured, and we've written Shnei Deos Lahasbir Hodikotoni. We have two approaches to explain that which is taught in the Mishnah, Hare Olai Oilo Shakivin Beis Chonyo. And the Mishnah said, after a person accepted upon himself an Ola to offer it in Beis Chonyo, Vim Hikriva Beis Chonyo Yotza, the Mishnah says, if he offers it in Beis Chonyo, he has fulfilled his obligation. How can you say that he's fulfilled an Ola requirement by simply killing an animal outside the Beis HaMikdash? Now, the answer. Alma Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna, notice, is the first triangle name. Later we'll see Rava. Rav Hamnuna says, Nase Ka'imer, it is as if this person said as follows. Hare Olai Oilo, Almanas Shlo Eschayev Bachri Yusa. I am accepting upon myself an Ola obligation, provided that I have no responsibility if anything should happen. So, as a result of, let us say, just merely killing the animal, so he is not obligated. And that's what's meant by Yotza. He, however, is going to be Chayev Kores because of Shchut Echutz. Because once he said Ola, he said Hare Olai Ola, that creates a shame Ola on the animal. The animal that he eventually designates or brings as an Ola becomes a real Ola, and therefore he'll be Chayev Mishum Shchut Echutz. However, just to repeat the main point, since he says, I am accepting upon myself an Ola in such a way that if anything happens, I'm not chayav to make good on it, that explains what it means that if he kills it outside the Beis HaMikdash, he is yotza. He has no further obligation. Omar le Rava. Rava questions Rav Hamnuna's approach by citing the Seifa. He says, Elameato, Seifa de Kotani, the Seifa, the latter part of our Mishnah that teaches, Hareini Nozir Sheagaleach Beveis Chonyo, Yigaleach Bemikdosh. The person had accepted himself Nazirus and stipulated that he wants to complete it by bringing sacrifices in the Beis Chonyo. The Mishnah says he should nevertheless bring these korbanos in the Mikdosh. The Im Gilach Beveis Chonyo Yotza. So, Hochei Nami Denase Koimer, are you going to explain the Mishnah and the Seifa the same way as you, Rav Humna, explained the Reisha? As if he says, Hareini Nozir Al Minas Shelo Eschayev Bachrayas Korbanoisov. Could it be explained like that? The person says, I am going to be a Nozir on condition that I don't have any obligation to bring the usual sacrifices that signify the end of Nazirus. That can't be the pshat. That can't be the explanation. Nozir kama de lo maisi korbanos of a Nozir, as long as he hasn't brought his korbanos, his sacrifices, lo miskashir. He doesn't fulfill his Nazirus obligation. So it could not possibly be explained, the Sefer that is, could not possibly be explained the same way that Rav Hamnuna explains the Reisha. Elo Omar Rava. So Rava introduces his approach to the Mishnah. His approach will cover the Reisha, the Ola, and also the Nazirus. We've labeled this Aleph and Beis. So Omar Rava, Odom Zeh, the person who had said Hare Olai Oila, and he then said Sha'akrivenu Bebeis Chanyo, Odom Zeh Ledoron Niskaven, he had in mind to bring a gift to the Almighty. And we want to emphasize the main point, and that is that since his intention was a mere gift, the animal that he eventually sets aside doesn't absorb a formal shame ola. It doesn't become called an ola. And now, a further explanation of what is in this fellow's mind. Omar, this person making the dedication says as follows, Isagyo bebeis chonyo tarachno. If it's sufficient for me to bring it to beis chonyo, then I will trouble myself. This person was sitting outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he's closer to Beis Chanyo than he is to Eretz Yisrael. So he's basically saying that if I can bring it, if it's sufficient for me to bring it to Beis Chanyo, then I'll trouble myself. Tfei lo motzino itzta'uri. But more than that, I cannot strain myself. I can't put myself out. In other words, I can't bring it. I'm not willing to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. According to Rava's explanation, there isn't going to be even Shchutei Chutz, as we said before, because the Shem Ola is not Chal. Nozir Nami, with regard to Nozir as well, Rava explains, Hai Gavro L'Tzuri Nafshi Ko Mechavein. This person accepted the Nazirus simply as a means of causing himself, we'll say, self-inflicted pain. Omar, he declared as follows, Isagyu bebeis chonyo tarachna. If I can fulfill my requirements by going to beis chonyo, then I will trouble myself. Tfei lo motzino tziri. But more than that, I can't put myself out. So according to Rava, the whole initial obligation was really not a binding type obligation, not with regard to the Ola, nor with regard to the Nazirus. He was simply, with regard to the Nazirus, he was simply trying to cause himself self-inflicted strain and restriction. The Rav Hamnuna, Omar Loch, Rav Hamnuna responds, he says, Nazirus kideko amris. I agree with your explanation as far as Nazirus is concerned. Oila, however, with regard to the Oila, I insist on my explanation. Almanas shalas chayav b'achriyusa ko'omar. I insist that he was accepting upon himself a formal Ola obligation, simply stipulating that he is not going to be chayav to make good on it. If anything should happen, he won't be obligated. But the shame Ola is chal. The Af Rabbi Yochanan Savala Lahod Rav Hamnuna. Rabbi Yochanan also subscribes to Rav Hamnuna. The Omar Rabba Rabba Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan. We've underlined Rabbi Yochanan's name because this is the focus of our attention. Hare Olai Oila Shachivin Beis Chanyo. Person who had accepted upon himself to bring an Ola to be offered at Beis Chanyo. V'hikriva Beretz Yisrael Yotza. And if he ends up offering it in Eretz Yisrael, at some place outside the Beis Hamikdash, he is Yotze, the Onush Kores, but he must suffer the Kores penalty because he offered it outside the Beis Hamikdash. Tanyo Nami Hochi Hare Olai Oilo Shakriveno Bamidbar Vikrivo Be'ever Hayarden. A person had accepted upon himself an Ola to offer it in the desert, thinking that the desert had some type of sanctity, being that the Jews had their Mishkan there for the duration of their sojourn in the desert. Vehikriva Be'ever Yarden, and he offers it in the region called Ever Yarden, which is the which is considered part of Eretz Israel, however not in Yerushalayim. Yotza V'onush Kores. The fact that it says here V'onush Kores indicates, like Rav Hamnuna, and that's why we brought this teaching in, to point out that these other opinions support the Rav Hamnuna approach, which said that once you say Hare Alai Ola, even if you say Shakriven Beischonyo, you are accepting a formal Ola requirement or obligation, and if you slaughter it outside the Beis Hamikdash, there will be a Chiyuv Kores. Rava, on the other hand, would have said under the same circumstances that the shame Ola didn't begin in the first place, and as a result, a non Beis Hamikdash Shechita would not result in Kores according to Rava. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a new Mishnah. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading: Ma Dinoi Shel Kohen Sheshimesh Beis Chonyo. What is the law regarding a Kohen who served in this temple called Beis Chonyo, Legabi Hemshech Sherus Beveis Hamikdash, regarding his ability to continue serving as a Kohen in the Beis Hamikdash? The Mishnah: HaKohenim Sheshimshu Beveis Chonyo Lo Yishamshu Beveis Hamikdash. A Kohen who served in this temple known as Beis Chonyo are no longer allowed to serve in the Beis Hamikdash of Yerushalayim. The Ein Tzorach Lomar L'davar Acher, and it goes without saying, if a Kohen served an idol, he certainly would not be allowed to return to the Beis Hamikdash and serve there. Shenemar, this posuk, there's a posuk that speaks about, it's in the context, we'll say, of a service of Avodah Zarah. It says, "Ach lo yalu kohen abamos el mizbach Hashem Yerushalayim, ki im ochlu matzos besoch achehem." The pasuk is saying that those who served the idols are not going to be allowed to serve at the mizbeach of the Beis Hamikdash. But what they will be able to do is receive portions of sacrifices amongst the other Kohanim. And that portrays them, or that categorizes them, as Harei Elu Kebale Mumin. They become like blemished Kohanim, which concerning them it says, Cholkin, the Oichlin, the Lo Makrivin. They, Kol Cholkin, is they receive formal portions of sacrificial distribution and eat from that, but they themselves cannot serve. That's why they're called a Baal Mum. Omar Rav Yehuda, Kohen Sheshochal Avodas Kechavim, a Kohen who slaughtered an animal to an idol, Korbonoi Reach Nichoach. This Kohen who had served by, who had shechted, had slaughtered an animal to an idol, when he goes to the Beis Hamikdash, the korbanos that he processes are acceptable. The term reach nichoach, creating a favor or grace in the eyes of the Almighty, indicating to us that his korban is acceptable, even though he had slaughtered to an idol previously. Amar of Yitzchok bar Avdimi, my craw. What's the pasuk that from which we can learn this point? So the pasuk says, Yan asher yeshorsu oisam lifnei gilu lehem v'hoyu lebeis Yisrael lemichsho avoim al kein nososi yodi alehem neum Hashem alakim v'nasu avonam. So this pasuk describes, we've dashed underlined the word yeshorsu, sherus, which indicates service of idols. That's Lifnei Gilu Lehem. Uksiv Basrei, and it says in Posuk Yud Gimel, Velo Yigshu Eli L'chayhen Li. Those who were involved in the service of the idols are no longer able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we want to make a diuk, an inference here. At what point, or as a result of what, does a kohen become rendered invalid? E ovat sherus in shchita lav sherus hu. There are activities in the processing of a korban that are called sherus, but shchita is not called sherus. Shchita, the slaughtering, which is the first stage, is something that's acceptable even by a non kohen. Hence, the pasuk, which describes those who served idols are no longer fit to offer in the Beis HaMikdash, those are people who did sherus. Sherus, as we said, are the activities of processing a sacrifice, but not including the first stage, namely the shechita. At this point in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form that comes up. We have a diamond, and we have also a nosei mivneh heading in the outside margin. We see a diamond is featured. Pe'ulos asuras l'avodah zarah, activities that are forbidden and were done to an avodah zarah. Shenasoi de kohen, that were done by a kohen. Ma dino l'shares b'beis hamikdash, can he serve in the beis hamikdash? Machlokis Rav Nachman v'Rav Sheshes. We will see a running machlokis between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes throughout the upcoming sugya. So you notice, before we go on, just let us take note of the diamond phrases. We have Shogag Bizrika. We have three lines from the bottom, the phrase Hazid Bishrita. And on Omid Beis, about approximately 10 lines from the top, you see Hishtachava Lavudas Kochavim, and you have Huida Lavudas Kochavim. Regarding all of these situations, the question is, what happens to the Kohen who does one of these things with regard to his continued service in the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara, Itmar, Shogag Bizrika. If a person, let us say, did the sprinkling of sacrificial blood to an idol, and he did it Bishogeg, we want to also note that Zrika is under the formal category of Sherus that we mentioned just before. So he did a form of sherus, namely zrikas adam, he did it, but unwittingly. Rav Nachman Omar Korbono Reach Nichoach. Rav Nachman says that if he serves in the Beis HaMikdash subsequently, his sacrifices will be acceptable. Rav Sheshes Omar Ein Korbono Reach Nichoach. His korbonos are no longer judged or deemed Reach Nichoach. He has been rendered invalid. Omar Rav Sheshes Mino Amin Olah. From where do I know that even if someone does the Sherus or the Zriko B'Shogeg, he is not to serve anymore? Dichtiv. So Rav Sheshes cites a pasuk. V'hoyu leveis Yisrael l'michshol avoin. My lav oy michshol avoin. When the pasuk says, and it shall be for Israel as a michshol avon, are they not two separate things? Umichshol equals shogeg, v'avon mezid. So that we see from this pasuk that even b'shogeg, he is rendered unfit. This pasuk, of course, was just cited a few lines up. We have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating where this pasuk is coming from. Rav Nachman, who said that he's not rendered unfit, he says that they are not two separate things, michshol and avon, rather michshol de avon, the one who stumbled in a knowing awareness sin committed with awareness of it being a problem. Amar Rav Nachman mino amin olah. So from where do I know that if one was shogag bezrika, he's still kosher? Desanya. The chiper hakoyin al hanepesh shogagas, the chetah b'shogagah. Melamed shekohen miskaper al yedei atzmo, that a kohen can process his own atonement. Bimai. The question of Bimai is, what did this person or this kohen do by way of service to the Avodah Zorah that I need a pasuk to teach me that he is still kosher? So the question is, what did he do wrong? He lema b'shchita. If you say he had shechted something to an idol, my ear is shogeg. Why speak about shogeg? Afilu mezid nami. We said before that shchita is not sheirus, so even if he did it knowingly, it wouldn't render him unfit, and therefore he wouldn't require atonement for that. We're looking for a case of some type of service to an avodah zorah that requires atonement, whereby we can learn what it says in the brisa we just read, that malamid shekohen miskaper al yedei atzmo. So if it's within the realm of shchita, then why would he need kapora to begin with? Elo lav bizrika. So rather, it's talking about a case of zrika. And it's described in the source as the nefesh shogagas, the cheto b'shogagas. So he apparently had done zrika b'shogeg. And we see in that source that the kohen is miskapi the asma, that he's able to continue to serve. Rav Sheshes Amaloch, Rav Sheshes, who said to the contrary, he will tell you le'olam b'shchita, the posuk is talking about that he was shogeg b'shchita u'bemezid lo naase meshores lavodis kochavim. The only way for him to be kosher is if his act was an act of shchita b'shogeg. But if he did shchita b'mezid, well, even though it's not sheirus, but nevertheless it was an act of service or to an idol done knowingly, so certainly he becomes a meshores to an avodah zorah, and as a result of that he is rendered unfit. So to review the machlokes, we have Rav Nachman saying that this pasuk of v'chipra kohen al nefesh shogagas, we're talking about someone who had done zrika b'shogeg. According to Rav Sheshes, the pasuk is talking about someone who had done shchita b'shogeg. The Ozdu, the Tamayo, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are consistent with what they have said elsewhere. Yitmar hezid b'shchita. Rav Nachman omar korbono reach nichoach. Rav Nachman, when it came to shchita, he had said just a few lines ago, and we see that this is his shita, that if he did shchita b'mezid to an idol, he can continue serving as a kohen, as it says here that his korban is reach nichoach. Rav Sheshes omar ein korbono reach nichoach. One who is mezid b'shchita, he becomes rendered unfit. Rav Nachman Omar Korban Reach Nichoach, the law of Hacherus. Rav Nachman looks at things quite objectively and says, you did an action that's not categorized as Sherus, therefore you are not rendered unfit. Rav Sheshes Omar, Ein Korbono Reach Nichoach. Nase Mishores Lavodis Nichoach. That even though he didn't do an act of Sherus, nevertheless he served knowingly, he served an idol. So that, according to Rav Sheshes, the emphasis is placed on the kavona and the mindset more than the formal activity. Omar Rav Nachman, mino amino lo. From where do I know that hezid b'shchita is still kosher? Tisanya koin she'ovar avodes kechavim v'shav korbono reach nichoach. B'mai, what are we describing here? This Tanaic source says a kohen who served idolatry and does penitence, he is able to continue serving in the Beis Hamikdash. So, what was his sin? He lema b'shogeg. If you'll say that he sinned in a shogeg fashion, my vishov. What does it mean? He comes back. Shovyomidu. He's already come back. In other words, the sin that he did was an unwitting sin. He is not a person that, let's say, strayed out of the path and then came back, and which we would describe as someone who was doing tshuva. This person was always in a state of, unwillingness to sin. The fact that he stumbled, that was bishogeg, but you wouldn't then subsequently, you wouldn't describe his subsequent behavior as vishav, as coming back. Ela pshita b'mezid. We're describing someone who did what he did knowingly served an idol. V'i b'zrika, and if you're talking about someone who did zrika b'mezid, kishav mayhave ha'avad lo sherus. Even if he did do tshuva, he would not be able to offer sacrifices because he violated sherus, which we saw in the pasuk on Omer Aleph, that one, if one does sherus b'mezid to an idol, he can no longer serve. Elo lav. So we have to conclude that we're talking about an act b'mezid, but a non-sherus act, which is shchita. Elolav b'shchita. He was mezid b'shchita, and we see from this that a mezid b'shchita, and this is what Rav Nachman wants us to see, is not rendered unfit to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Rav Sheshes Amaloch, the Olam b'shogeg. This source is describing someone who is shochat b'shogeg. Someone who is shochat b'shogeg, that Rav Sheshes says, can continue serving in the Beis Hamikdash. The Hochi Ka'omar, and this is what the source is trying to tell us. Im shov me'ikoro, if he is like he was originally, then originally means a non-sinner, d'chi ovad b'shogeg ovad. To describe him as a non-sinner, we would have to say that he did his action, his, we'll call, wrongful action, with a state of unawareness. Korbono reach nichoach. So someone who is shov me'ikoro, his korban will be acceptable. In other words, he could continue serving in the Beis Hamikdash. V'im lav, ein korbono reach nichoach. However, if his action was not b'shogeg, so that we wouldn't be able to describe him as shov meikaro, so then he is rendered unfit, and therefore his subsequent korbanos would be unacceptable. Hishtachav elav rizkachavim. Let us say a kohen bowed to an idol. Rav Nachman korbono reach nichoach. Rav Nachman says he can continue serving in the Beis Hamikdash. Rav Sheshes Amar ein korbono reach nichoach. He is rendered unfit. Hoyd elav rizkachavim. A person was moedav rizkachavim means he declared a particular idol, "You are my God." He said, "Eli ato." Rav Nachman korbono reach nichoach. That by being a hoidav rizkachavim, that does not render the kohen unfit. Rav Sheshes Amar ein korbono reach nichoach. He is rendered unfit. So we have seen till now a number of cases. If we just survey our diamonds, we'll see that we had counted off. We have four cases of Shogeg Bezrika and Hezid Beshchita. We discussed Hishtachav Eskechavim and Hoidlav Eskechavim. The Gemara now makes a long point. We call it a Tzrichusa. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text is circled Nun. The Nun is a Nekuda. The vertical descending dash line indicates the lines of Gemara that make this point. The point being that I need all of these examples in which to feature the Machlokas Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. The E Ashmina Hach Kamaisa, had I taught just the first case, namely Shogag Bizrika, Bahi Kom Rav Sheshes, if he was Shogag Bizrika, there Rav Sheshes may have said that he's Nifsal Milavo, he becomes unfit, because he did, the Ovad Le Sherus, he did an action categorized as Sherus. And we saw in the Pasuk that one who does Sherus to an Avodah Zarah is rendered unfit. Aval, Shchita de Ovad Le Sherus. However, as far as slaughtering is concerned, which is not an act of Sherus, Ema Moda Le Rav Nachman. I would have thought that Rav Sheshes would agree with Rav Nachman that even if he was Bemazed, he would be kosher. Mazed, Hezid B'Shchita. The Ashmin and Shchita, if we would tell you the Machlokis Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes in the case of Shchita that he becomes Pasul, Mishum to Ovad Le Mishum de'oved le'avoda. He did an action called avoda. He did a formal action, one of the steps in processing a sacrifice. But merely bowing to an idol where he doesn't perform an avoda, emolo, maybe he wouldn't become unfit. Tzricha. Therefore, I have to tell you the case of Ishtachav Lezakavim also, that Rav Shesha says he's rendered unfit. V'yashminan Ishtachavo, Mishum Da'ovad Le'maisa. If I would tell you that he's rendered unfit through Ishtachavo to an idol, it's because he did an action of bending or bowing to the idol. Aval Hoida, the Dibur B'Yamo, was, as far as Hoda is concerned, where he simply declared, Eliyato, you are my God, which is mere speech. Emolo, that would not be sufficient to render him unfit. Tzricha, therefore I have to tell you that as well. That as well, namely that Rav Sheshes, in the case of someone who says Eli Ato to an idol, is rendered unfit to process korbanos. The Ein Tzorach Lomar Dover Acher, the Mishnah said after describing Beis Chonyo, a Kohen who serves in Beis Chonyo is rendered unfit, the Mishnah went on to say, and I don't have to tell you if he served an actual idol. Midukomar Ein Tzorach Lomar Dover Acher, from the fact that the Mishnah expressed itself that way, namely, like once teaching you about someone becoming unfit because of doing service in the Beis Chonyo, and I don't have to tell you about Dover Acher, which is Avodah Zara, Michlal de Beis Chonyo Lavodis Kechavim, who it stands to reason then that Beis Chonyo is not a house of worship. Because the issue of worshipping idols, house of worship, we mean worship of idols, that's treated as a separate clause in the Mishnah, namely, Ein Tzorach Lomar Dover Acher. Tanyo keman de Omar Beis Chonyo lav avodis kechavim hu. We have a Tanaic source, and it appears from learning the Tanaic source that the emphasis may be placed on Rabbi Yehuda, who learns that the Beis Chonyo was not a house of idolatry. The Sanyo, we have a very long Tanaic source in which the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda will be featured in terms of some background regarding Beis Chonyo. The source, the Sanyo, Oysa Shona Shemei Shimon HaTzadik, the year in which Shimon HaTzadik passed away. Prior to his passing, Omer Lehen, Shimon HaTzadik announced Shona Zu Hu Meis. He said regarding himself that he is going to die this year. We mentioned at the beginning of the shiur that Shimon HaTzadik was one of the remaining members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. His name is featured in the beginning of Maseches Ovis as being Mishiorei Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and we can refer to him as possibly associated with the beginning of the Tanaic period. And this is a period of time in the middle of the Bias Sheni era. And he said, he functioned as a Kohen Gadol, and he says on the year that he's going to die, he already foretold that would happen. Amru lo minayin atayu there, from where do you know this? Amru lahem, so he said, Kol Yom Kippur mezamin li zokin echad lavush levanim. Every Yom Kippur, when I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, an old man dressed in white, v'nis atef levanim, and is cloaked in white, v'nichnas imi, he comes and enters with me, v'yotza imi, and exits with me. Shana zu, this year, I found an old man that was dressed in black and cloaked in black. He went in with me but didn't come out together with me. So this oddity signified to Shimon HaTzadik his impending death. After Sukkot, he took ill for 7 days, umes, and passed away. Nimnu Echav HaKohanim Levorach B'Shem, and the fellow Kohanim during that 7-day period when reciting the Birkas Kohanim, they did not use the formal holy name of God, which is usually the case when doing Birkas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. B'Sh'as P'tirasu Omar, right before he was going to die, Shimon HaTzadik said, Omar Lahem, he said to those surrounding him, Chonyo b'ni yishamesh tachtoi, my son Chonyo will be my replacement to serve as Kohen Gadol. Niskani bo Shimi Ochiv, Shimi, the brother of Chonyo, another son of Shimon HaTzadik, became jealous. Why? Shoya Gadol mimenu shtei shanu mechsa. Shimi was older than Chonyo by 2.5 years. And because of his seniority, he thought that he would be the one to receive the office of Kohen Gadol. So we now have a person, Shimi, a jealous person, and now let's see what happens. Amalo, Shimi says to Chonyo, Bo v'amdecho seder avoda. Come, I want to teach you how to perform the avoda, the avodas Beis HaMikdash. Most likely the avoda of Rashi doesn't mention here avodas Yom Kippur, so we can say simply the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. The reason for one to suspect that it does refer to avodas Yom Kippur is because we're talking about someone who's now ascending to the office of Kohen Gadol, and that which was specific Kohen Gadol was the avodas Yom Kippur. So he says, I want to teach you the laws of the avoda. The avoda being the service of the Kohen Gadol. Hilbisho ba'unkli, he cloaked. That's Shimi cloaked Chonyo with a leather article of clothing, the Chogro Bitzotzel, and girded him with a belt. And these are clearly non-Kohanim garments. Hemido Eitzel HaMizbeach, and he positioned Chonyo by the altar. Armelhem Leochav HaKohanim, and Shimi then announced to his fellow Kohanim, look at this guy. Re'u ma nodar zevikim lavoso. Look what he vowed to his avoso, his wife. And the vow being, Oisu hayom shishtamej v'gedolo, the day that I start to serve as Kohen Gadol, elboish v'unkeli shalichi v'echa v'tzilsu shalichi. I will wear your leather garment and gird myself with your tzilsul. Well, upon hearing this story that Shimi told the public concerning Chonyo, Bikshu Echav HaKohanim Lahargo, the fellow Kohanim wanted to kill Chonyo, making a joke out of the Avodas Kohen Gadol. Rots Mitnayim, well, Chonyo saw that his life was endangered, so he ran from them. Rotsu Achav, they chased him. Holach Alexandria Shul Mitzrayim. He eventually got to Alexandria in Egypt. Lubana Shul Mizbeach, and he built an altar there. The hell of Lishum Avodas Kohanim, and he offered sacrifices to idols. Ukshishamu Chachamim Badavar. When the Chachamim heard this story, Amru, they reacted. Ma zeh shelo yorad lo kach. Mind you, this Shimi who did not. Didn't descend to the high office of honor of Kohen Gadol, and look what happened to him. Hayored lo al achas kamo v'kamo. Rashi explains over here. Hayored lo al achas kamo v'kamo she'ein moridin oso shelo yikalkel atzmo. You can imagine what happens to someone that does ascend to an office of honor and distinction, how much more so one should not remove him from it. So once again, someone who didn't enter the office itself was experienced such jealousy that caused him to do what he did to his brother. You can imagine someone who actually enters the office, how much more so one should be careful not to remove a person from that office. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This approach is that of Rabbi Meir. Omar lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo kach hoya maisa. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees regarding the facts. He says the maisa, the incident was not like that. Elo. And before we go any further, we have included, you notice, to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, Roman numerals 1 and 2. So here we're starting the second approach, that of Rabbi Yehuda. He says the incident was not like you described. Elo lo kibel olav chanyo. Chanyo did not accept what Shimon HaTzadik, what his father had mentioned. Why did Chanyo not accept the office of Kohen Gadol? Shemiyachiv Gadol Menu Shtei Shanu Mechsa, because he had an older brother, 2.5 years older. V'yafal Pikein Niskana Bo Chanyo B'Shemiyachiv, and even though Chanyo himself willingly passed on the office, giving it to Shimi, his brother, nevertheless, he was filled with a feeling of jealousy. Omar lo, Chanyo here takes the initiative, and he says, "Bo v'amdechol shteder avoda, I will teach you the service of the Kohen Gadol. V'ilbisho beunkli v'chogu betziltzu, v'mido etzel mizbeach." Just like we saw above, cloaking him with the unkli, this leather garment, and girding him with a belt, standing him by the altar. Amalhem lach bekohanim, and Chanyo in this case announced to the other kohanim, "Ru ma neder ma nodar ze v'kiyem avaso." Look at what he vowed to his wife and fulfilled, and the vow had been, "Oso ayom sheishtamish b'kohen gadol, the day that I serve as kohen gadol, elbush unkli shlichi v'ekul b'tzil shlichi, I will wear your unkli and your tzilzol." Bikshu echav hakonim lahargo. Well, they heard that story concerning Shimi vowing to his wife that he would, as Kohen Gadol, wear her garments. They wanted to kill him. Sochlem kol mora. So Shimi told them, "Hey, this is all a setup." He told them, the mora means he told them all of the happenings, the incident. Bikshu laharog es Chanyo. Well, upon hearing that, then their wrath turned toward Chanyo, their desire to kill him. Rotz mitneim. He ran from them. Rotzu achrov. And they followed, they pursued him. Rots the Beis HaMelech, he ran to seek refuge in the palace of the king. V'rotsu Achrov, and they chased him there. Kol HaRoyo So Omer, Zehu, anyone who saw him, who spotted him, said, "Hey, here he is." Halach Sanchez from Mitzrayim, he eventually ran to Alexandria. Ubono Shom Mizbeach, built an altar there. V'hel Olav L'Shem Shemayim, or Hel of Olav L'Shem Shemayim. He offered sacrifices with the intent of the Almighty. In other words, with having the Almighty in mind, as opposed to what we saw before, and you can see with the same marking, this dashed underline, before he was described as having offered to an idol. Here we contrast that with he offered in this base Chanyo, or in the at this altar that he, Chanyo, built, he offered to the Ribono Shel Olam. Tosfos explains over here that if it's L'Shem Shemayim, how could he do Shchutechut? Shchutechut is slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. So Tosus explained what he might very well have done was he helped some Gentiles offer sacrifices. Gentiles are not obligated to come to the Beis HaMikdash. There's no Isser Shchutechut when it comes to Gentiles. And he assisted them in offering sacrifices to the Almighty. Shinamar, the Pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda cites to bolster his position, says, "Bayomahu ye mizbech Lashem besoch eretz Mitzrayim, umatzevo etzel gvulo Lashem." That on that day there will be an altar in Mitzrayim to the Almighty, to Hashem. Ukshishamu chachamim badover. When they heard this story, when the sages heard this story, amru, they reacted. Umazeh shaborach mimeno kach. This, mind you, Chanyo, who ran from honor, and look what happened, and yet, even though he tried to avoid kavod, he nevertheless was overcome with jealousy. Hamevakish leirid lo al achas kama v'kama. You can only imagine how much more so there is trouble awaiting someone who seeks out honor. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, betchila, at the beginning, at the outset, kol oimer alei lo. Anyone who would try to push me and or say ascend to honor, to a position of honor and power, ani koyso ivenois lefnei ari, I would tie him up and place him in front of a lion. An expression of we'll say, discontent, to put it mildly, to anyone who was trying to convince me to accept an office of honor. Ato, but now that I have, Yehoshua ben Prachya, it's pointed out by Rashi, was a Nasi, now that he actually did assume an office of honor, Kola Omer Li Leireid Mimeno, anyone who would try to convince me leave that office, Ani Mati Olav Kumkum Shochamin, I would pour over him some boiling water. Sharei Shaul Borach Mimeno, we know that Shaul HaMelech ran away from honor, Uvshaolah, and then when he eventually became king, Bikesh Laharog Es David, he felt so threatened by anyone who was challenging his office that he wanted to kill, in this case, kill David. Omale Markshisha Brei the Rav Chisda Labaye. Rabbi Meir, Hai Kral de Rehuda, Mai Ovid Lay. What does Rabbi Meir do with the Pasuk that Rabbi Huda cited, namely the Pasuk, Bayomahu, Ye Mizbech Lashem, etc.? So the Gemara answers, L'chidatanya, he uses that Pasuk for the following teaching. We've noted in the outside margin that the Gemara will be sharing with us Drushos al Ha'atid, descriptions based on psukim of the future. We will talk about Hakaras Umos Ha'olam Bakadosh Baruch Hu, the nations of the world recognizing the Almighty, and Kibbutz Golis Yisrael, the ingathering of the exiles of the Jewish people. So we are now awaiting to see what Rabbi Meir does with the pasuk cited by Rabbi Huda of Bayomahu Yem Mizbech Lashem B'Soch Eretz Yisrael. The source begins La'achar Mapolosu Shel Sancheriv, after the downfall of Sancheriv, who was the king of the mighty empire of Ashur, and his downfall took place during the kingdom of Chizkiyo, who was the king of Judea. So Yotze Chizkiyo V'motzo B'nei Malachim Shel Yoshim B'Kronos Shel Zov. He went out and found princes sitting in chariots of gold. Hediron Shiloavoid Es Gechovim. He bound them by oath to desist from the service of idols. Shinemar Bayomahu. We should point out that the pasuk we're citing now is from Yeshaya Perek Yutes, pasuk Yud Ches. This pasuk is the pasuk right before the pasuk we cited before, that Rebuta cited before, which is noted as Yeshaya Yutes, pasuk Yud Ches. So in pasuk Yud Ches, it says Bayomahu Ye Yu Chomesh Orim Be'eretz Mitzrayim Medabrois Sfas Knan V'Nishbos Lashem Tzevokos, and it goes on to say Ir HaHeres Ye Omer La'achas. So we saw that that Chizkiyo had seen these princes and swore them to desist from idolatry. Hochu L'Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim, they went to Alexandria in Egypt, Ubonu Mizbeach, and they built an altar, V'helu Olov L'Shem Shemayim, and they offered sacrifices to the Almighty, Shemar Bayomahu, Ye Mizbeach L'Shem B'Soch Eretz Mitzrayim. The Pasuk that we had cited, Pasuk Yudches, it says at the end, Ir HaHeres Ye Omer L'Echos. My ear hoheres ye omer lochos. What is that a reference to? Kidemetagem Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was an expert in explaining psukim, and he said the targum, the Aramaic of version of that pasuk is, the Aramaic translation is, Karta de Beis Shemesh, the city of Beis Shemesh, the osid lemechav, that will be destroyed, is omer dehi chada minhon, is reported to be one of those five cities. We had seen in the Pasuk there were to be five cities in Eretz Yisrael that spoke Sfas Canaan. They spoke the language of the Jews who live in Eretz Canaan. So the Pasuk of Ir HaHeres is a reference to the city of Beis Shemesh is one of those five cities that will be in Eretz Mitzrayim. Umimai Dir HaHeres Lishna D'Shimsha, we said that Ir HaHeres is a reference to Beis Shemesh. From where do you know that Beis Shemesh, that the word Heres is associated with the sun? Beis Shemesh meaning being a reference to the sun. So more answers. Dichtiv ha'omer laheres v'lo yizrach. So you see the word yizrach, in this case lo yizrach, that's something characteristic of the sun, with the word cheres. V'homer lacheres, cheres, and the spelled here with the ches and the he are interchangeable letters. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.